So we're devoting the whole of the rest of the programme now to the music and conversation of Rascal Flatts. We're at Maida Vale Studios with them. Yesterday we recorded three songs, loads and loads of chat and information, everything else, all coming up between now and 8 o'clock. And the first song they performed for us yesterday, Rascal Flatts and Take Me There.
There's a place in your heart nobody's been. Take me there. Things nobody knows, not even your friends. Take me there. Tell me about your mama, your daddy, your hometown. Show me around, see it all. Don't leave anything out. I want to know everything about you then. And I want to go down every road you've been, where your hopes and dreams, your wishes live, where you keep the rest of your life hid. Wanna know the girl behind that pretty stare. Take me there. Take me there. Your first real kiss, your first true love. And you were scared. Show me where you learned about life. Spend your summer nights without a care.
Take me there.
I wanna roll down Main Street, the back roads, like you did when you were a kid. What made you who you are? Tell me what your story is. I wanna know everything about you. And I wanna go down every road you've been, where your hopes and dreams, your wishes live, where you keep the rest of your life hid. Wanna know the girl behind that pretty stare. Everything about you, yeah. Everything about you, baby. I wanna go down every road you've been, where your hopes and dreams, your wishes live, where you keep the rest of your life hid. Wanna know the girl behind that pretty stare. Take me.
Music of Rascal Flatts, Jay and Gary and Joe, welcome to the UK. It's just great to see you here.
It's great to be here.
And Take Me There, of course, is the title of the song. And it's the opening song from what is a special release for Britain, this, isn't it? This album is called Rascal Flatts, and it's a kind of hybrid in that tracks come from various different albums to make up the running order of this CD. So did you choose the tracks on this, especially with the UK in mind?
We actually decided to put some of the songs on our latest CD that had been milestones in our career and some of our biggest hits. And we feel like that music on that CD is the best way to introduce ourselves to the UK. So hopefully everybody feels the same way.
Because one of the tracks that I'm personally really pleased to see on this is Life is a Highway.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember, A, I remember the original.
Right.
But B, my kids are really into the Cars film. And, of course, that features in that movie, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, that was proposed to us, I guess, a few years back. And, Disney was doing the Cars movie. And John Lasseter is a big part of Pixar and one of the co-owners of that. And we became friends with him several years ago, and he approached us about that movie and the possibility of being involved in it, and said, "You remember that song, Life is a Highway, by Tom Cochran?" And we're like, "Yeah, of course we do." And so we took a stab at it. And actually, that was our first attempt at also working with Dan Huff, mm-hmm. producer, who now has produced a couple of albums on us. And so it was a lot of fun to go in the studio and do something that was kind of no holds barred, kind of a rock track. You know, it was a lot of fun for us to really just kind of express ourselves in kind of a new light.
Yeah. It's great that you're here, I must say. And I remember our conversation when we first met, when you just won the Horizon Award mm-hmm. at CMAs.
Was that 1972? What was that?
1900 and frozen to death.
Yes.
And from what you were saying, you know, the thing that really impressed me about your approach to things at that moment was the work ethic. The fact that you'd put in the miles to achieve that Horizon Award. And it seems to me that your visit to Britain this time is also a sort of demonstration of that, that here you are breaking into what previously has been, you know, new territory for you. So the theory of sort of coming over to the UK, where does the UK sit in the sort of, I don't know, league table of importance for Rascal Flatts?
Well, I think it's very important. You know, we've wanted to come over for so long, and, our work ethic, you know, we've been on tour for so long that we just couldn't really find a window. But it's great that we finally got to come over here. We've been hungry to come over here. Mm-hmm. And, because we just want to, you know, sing our music to the masses, and UK is a big part of it.
Have you had a chance to be over here previously, sort of, you know, not necessarily in a professional capacity, but have you visited the UK before?
Never visited the UK. Been overseas, but never had a chance to come to the UK, which is pretty exciting to be here for the first time.
Yeah, have you had any chance to do any of the tourist thing yet?
No, they keep us so busy since we've been here.
Feet haven't touched the ground.
We've got a bunch of slave drivers in there. Between our management and our record label, we don't even have time to take a shower. So hopefully we...
So thanks for the use of the water in the bathroom there. We appreciate that.
And the coffee.
That's right, absolutely.
Well, let's talk a little more in a second, but play another song for us if you would. What are you going to do next?
Sure. What would you like to do there, Jay?
Let's see what hurts the most.
Okay.
2, 3.
Take the rain on the roof of this empty house. That don't bother me. I can take a few tears now and then and just let them out. I'm not afraid to cry every once in a while. Even though going on with you gone still upsets me. There are days every now and again I pretend I'm okay. But that's not what gets me. What I heard was being so close and having so much to say and watching you walk away and never knowing what could have been and not seeing that loving you is what I was trying to do. Yes, it was, baby. It's hard to deal with the pain of losing you everywhere I go, but I'm doing it. It's hard to force that smile when I see our old friends and I'm alone. Still harder getting up, getting dressed, living with this regret. But I know if I could do it over, I would trade that I've left unspoken. The one I hurt the most was being so close and having so much to say.
Much to say.
Watching you walk away and never knowing who I could have been, and not seeing that loving you is what I was trying to do. Oh, you. What hurts the most was being so close and having so much to say. And watching you walk away, yeah, and never knowing who I could have been, and not seeing that loving you is what I was trying to do.
Not seeing that loving you,
that's what I was trying to do.
The music of Rascal Flatts here on Bob Harris Country, and that's another one of the songs included on the new UK release called Rascal Flatts, and What Hurts the Most is the title of the song. Just talking about the history of the group for a second, because you two are second cousins.
Yep.
So did you kind of, have you known one another?
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah, yeah, we grew up together, and our moms are first cousins, but more like sisters, and, you know, music is just, it's kind of like, at birth, you're given a name and an instrument. That's how it kind of happens in our family, so yeah.
So you got kind of, you know, you knew each other, were you kind of jamming together and working out music together, even, you know, as young kids?
Well, I left Columbus a few years before Gary did, and I didn't even know he sang until about 97. So I had no idea he'd been out up there in Columbus, you know, winning some singing contests and singing a bunch, and I kept hearing about him, but I didn't know how great he was or that he even wanted to do it for a living until later on in life. And I had already been in Nashville making a living, you know, making music, playing for other people, and I had a publishing deal writing songs and things. So, and then when we finally met up again and he came down and stayed with me for a couple of weeks in Nashville, he sang for me sitting at the piano, and I thought, oh my Lord, this is unbelievable. I can't believe you're still in Columbus, Ohio. So it was you can imagine, a wonderful surprise. And you know, to be related was just the icing on the cake. And,
yeah,
you know, at first, I mean, we didn't even talk about starting a group, per se. I was just trying to help him get noticed as a singer first in Nashville. And so I started going around to some of the clubs with him and playing piano for him while he sang. And it just evolved into something that was very special and unique. And it just felt very, very natural and for us to make music together. So we kept doing it. And
so how did you meet Joe? Was this through Shelley Wright's band?
I was Shelley Wright's band leader, actually, at the time. And he'd come in to audition for us, and I hired him to play guitar.
Just like that?
Yeah, yeah.
So there, from then, you were in Shelley Wright's band at this moment. How did this sort of segue across into becoming Rascal Flatts?
We just had a gig downtown in Nashville at the Fiddle and Steel Guitar Bar that Gary and I were playing. One night, our guitar player couldn't show up, and so I called Joe Don. He'd been playing with Shelley for about a couple of months with us, I guess. And I called and asked him if he wanted to come in and fill in that night. And Gary hadn't even met Joe Don up to that point. And so Joe Don was up on stage setting up his amp and getting ready to start playing for the night. And Gary and I were standing back by the bar. And Gary leaned over to me. He said, "Hey, man, who the hell is that? Where's Shane at?" And I said, "Well, Shane got sick. He couldn't make it." And he said, "Well, who's that?" And I said, "That's Joe Don. You know, I've been telling you about him." And he said, "Well, does he know any of the stuff?" And I said, "I don't know. We're going to find out."
No, you know, we put him on the spot.
You know, because we played from 9 p.m. to 3 a.m. You know, so, you know, it's
that's six sets a night.
That's a pretty big song repertoire, you know. Because
it's tough in Nashville, isn't it? I mean, Nashville's an incredible town. It draws in. Mm-hmm. I remember Steve Earle saying, you know, there are a million people in Nashville and 999,999 of them are songwriters.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know what the other guy does, but but it's true, isn't it? It's therefore very competitive. But the mm-hmm. thing also about Nashville that I like, there is a sense of community amongst musicians in Nashville. There's a lot of support, isn't there? But it isn't easy to break through. So how did Rascal Flatts achieve that?
Well, I think something that's cool about Nashville, to add to what you're saying, is there's an eclectic mix of music also. You know, there's not just a country thing happening. There's, you know, there's old school rock and roll happening. There's in the clubs on any given night, I mean, you have to know all kinds of music because the people want to hear just a bunch of great music. And so for us, we were doing stuff by the Eagles. We were doing, you know, Merle Haggard stuff. We were doing our own kind of versions of these old country stuff and old rock stuff. And, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and people were just loving it. So with us, we've loved all kinds of styles. And so we just implemented that into Rascal Flatts' sound. And it caught a couple of producers' ears. You know, that's really exactly what happened. A guy named Mark Bright and a guy named Marty Williams, and they produced our first three albums in the States. And they already had a connection with Gary, first off, so they knew the kid could sing. You know, that was pretty easy. And I guess once I joined the group, we had like a trio going on, so they wanted to work with us. We went in and cut a few tracks, and lo and behold, had a record deal in a matter of about 6 or 7 months after singing together.
But I think what causes anybody to break through, though, at that point, is to have something unique, something that's never been done before. Mm-hmm. And I think that once Jodan came on board, it was quite evident that the blend that we had and our influences and our backgrounds and everything enabled us to have something that was unique, to have our sound with the singer that Gary is, with his R&B influences and the way that he can deliver a vocal. We had something that nobody had heard at that point. Point in time, and I think that was the thing that caused us to catch somebody's ear and to say, hey, you know what, we got something unique here, we need to really mm-hmm. get behind this and fast track it. Our label signed us, and within 6 months we had a record out.
Yes.
So.
And then it all clicked and kicked in mm-hmm. big quickly. Didn't it?
Yes.
And, you know, this blend of styles, influences certainly that you describe here, do you think that's to do with the massive success you've had? Because I read a lovely quote describing the sound as grounded in country, but 10% R&B, 15% gospel, and 25% rock.
Yeah.
And, you know,
during
the years since you broke through, and I mean, we're only talking about sort of seven, eight
yeah.
years,
mm-hmm.
the market in America has changed enormously, mm-hmm. hasn't it? You only have to look at the Billboard top 100 singles charts mm-hmm. and compare with the way things were 5, 6, or 7 years ago to mm-hmm. see how huge that change has become. And yet, right through the middle of this, you've sort of ploughed your own furrow, mm-hmm. and by doing that, you've become the most successful selling act in the American charts. Now, that's an incredible achievement, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you think then underpins this? Is it to do with the various influences, and is that to do with the amount of time that you've been prepared to get out on the road and put your music in front of people? Is it kind of a combination of those two things?
I think it's several things. I think it's the reaction of the fans. We've got the most incredible fans in country music in the world. And we also have stayed committed to cutting the best songs we could get our hands on. We're all songwriters. We all love to write. We would all, in a perfect world, love to write every song that we put on a record.
Mm.
It just, I think it's a bit arrogant for artists to believe that they can outwrite every writer in town that does it for a living day in and day out. So we've always made a commitment to find the best songs that we possibly can. And I think the songs we've been able to cut have connected with people worldwide.
And part of that process, has part of that been sort of gradually grabbing more control yourselves over the sound and the shape of an album?
You know what, I think that's a great statement, because I definitely think as an artist, as you grow, change, evolve, and get older, just as people, in general, as men, grown men, we've all gotten married, and, you know, Gary's got kids, and we've all changed and evolved that way, and our music has also followed. It's followed along the path. We've been able to cut stuff that is, you know, energetic and fun and youthful, but at the same time, we've been able to cut stuff that's very deep-oriented, spirited music that really can change somebody's life, you know, as an adult.
You have to play a certain game when you're in Nashville. You have to do certain things that the producers want you to do and the labels want you to do. Fortunately, we were blessed with a label that gave us complete creative control. They left us alone. They put us in the studio. And the more that time went on and we got to do more, see, Jodon's a very, very gifted musician. He's capable of doing so much more than what he was able to do on the first couple of records. I've got a producing background. I was involved in production and writing and everything before Rascal Flatts ever existed. So we're all chomping at the bit to be more and more involved, but you sort of have to play the game and get to the point to where you have enough clout to have control of what you do. So over the past few years, we've been able to gain more of that control, and it's been wonderful because it's been more Rascal Flatts than ever now. And as time goes on, I think you'll see more and more of that. So it's really, really great to feel complete ownership of what we do now.
Yeah.
Good point.
We'd love to hear another song. Just, Jay, just sort of talk us into the next one, if you would.
And this is a song that the three of us have written. It's actually the first single we've ever had together.
Mm-hmm.
The three of us.
Yeah, and it's actually our current single over in the States. So.
Right. 1, 2,
win it a losing game.
4.
Baby, look here at me. Have you ever seen me this way? Well, I've been fumbling for words through the tears and the hurt and the pain. I'm gonna lay it all out on the line tonight. And I think that it's time to tell this uphill fight goodbye. Have you ever had to love someone that just don't feel the same? Try to make somebody care for you the way I do. It's like trying to catch the rain. And if a love is really forever, I'm a winner at a losing game. I know that, baby, you tried to find me somewhere inside of you. But you know you can't lie. Girl, you can't hide the truth. Oh no. Sometimes two hearts just can't dance to the same beat. So I'll pack up my things and I'll take what remains of me. But have you ever had to love someone that just don't feel the same? Try to make somebody care for you the way I do. It's like trying to catch the rain. And if a love is really forever, I'm a winner at a losing game. I know that I'll never be the man that you need or love. Yeah, baby, it's killing me to stand here and see I'm not what you've been dreaming of. Have you ever had to love someone that just don't feel the same? Try to make somebody care for you the way I do. It's like trying to catch the rain. But if love is really forever, I'm a winner at a losing game. If love is really forever, I'm a winner at a losing game. Oh, I'm tired of losing at this game. Yes, I am, babe.
Winner at a losing game.
Yeah.
The CMA Vocal Group of the Year, Rascal Flatts, for the last, what is it, 5 years running, isn't it?
Unbelievable.
Now.
We have been blessed beyond measure, Bob, more than we deserve, man. We just...
But you were talking about, crazy, you know, man, that song being a collaborative effort, and you're a group in the country music scene, and there aren't as many groups. I mean, there, as we know, there are so many really fine solo country artists, but not as many groups. So what advantage does that give you? Is it partly to do with the fact that you've all got each other to back each other up, kind of thing?
You know, the group situation is kind of weird because, you know, we kind of came in at the tail end of when all the boy band stuff was going on, you know, so people were starting to, you know, try to talk and say that, you know, we were trying to jump on this gravy train, you know, but, you know, it's like we were actual singers and songwriters and musicians, and some, you know, this is what we've been called to do, so.
Yeah. Just a couple of final points, but you were saying, Jay, about, you know, production outside of the group. You produced Chicago not too long ago, didn't you?
Yeah.
And I know that Chicago have been a long, long time favorite of yours. So between the three of you, really, just pick out one or two artists that you've loved through the years and maybe also have influenced your music.
Well, definitely Merle Haggard. I love singer-songwriters, especially. I mean, Merle's just one of my favorites. There's probably not a song that I don't love of his. And so he definitely in the roots of country music, where, you know, my soul lies. He's probably one of my favorites in this. Really influenced me over the years.
I think we all get him. You know, if you can't be moved by Merle, you're probably dead. Cause
I know for Gary, it's like Stevie Wonder. And
Yeah, Stevie Wonder for me, and people like, you know, Peebo Bryson. It was such a weird, odd range of stuff as a kid, man.
ETC.
That affected me. You know, Earl Thomas Conley to you know,
Prince.
Ronnie Millsap to Prince to...
You know, a lot of people don't realize that there's a lot of soul singers in country also. Mm. People like George Jones. You can't sing like George Jones without some soul. I mean, George had a really unique...
Keith Whitling, yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah, Keith had that soul. And somebody else, Vince Gill, somebody that's really a big influence on all of us. And he's another soul side of country style singer. And somebody we just love to death.
And it's interesting, isn't it, the way that the crossover has now happened with Robert Plant working with Alison Krauss and with John Paul Jones working with Uncle Earl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's also from rock a recognition of this wonderful sort of old-time legacy and tradition that exists within country music. And I think that's a wonderful thing as well.
Yeah, if you'd have told me that Bon Jovi would have made a country album, I'd have never believed it. I almost passed out. Seriously, really.
So what are the plans now then for 2008? I mean, you're here on this, what's really a kind of promotional visit this time, isn't it? Are you planning to come back and do, I'm asking this question also on behalf of Barbara Flynn, who says, have been really looking forward to the Rascal Flatts set, have been a fan for ages now after first hearing them on a visit and subsequent visits to the US and listening to country radio and country TV. They're now part of my CD collection. Saw them on TV coverage of the CMAs. They were absolutely fantastic. Any plans for them to tour in the UK soon?
We are currently working toward that. That's why we're over here, and we're looking forward to coming back, and we're hopefully going to make it back this year sometime to do some dates over here. So stay tuned, and you can log on to www.rascalflatts.com to see upcoming concert dates.
That's very sweet, Barbara. Thank you very much.
Brilliant. Okay,
yeah,
well,
really cool. Awesome.
I want to round off with a final song from the CD. And it's one I've probably played the most on my programs through the last few years. But just tell us about Bless the Broken Road.
It's a song that was written about 7 years before we actually cut it. It was kind of laid around there. And there was a gospel artist, I think, that tried to cut it. And it
actually,
just,
Leanne Womack did cut it, and she found out that Melody Crittenden had put it out, and she decided not to put it on her record.
Yeah, didn't know that. I had no idea that had been cut two times, or we probably would have done the same thing.
It's really one of those songs that just, everybody loves a love song, especially people in love, and there's so many people in love. And they love that song. They've really gravitated to that song in a big way. That's one of our big moments on our live show, is doing that song. Yeah, people light lighters and, you know, just
and
cry and sway, yeah, and kiss, yeah, their partner, yeah, and just, you know, it's really a beautiful moment in our show. And something, it was a song that changed our life as Rascal Flatts too. It took us to another level in our career.
Yeah, the biggest thing is how many people have gotten married to it. Mm. It's just, you know, it's crazy. And, you know, how many people have had children to it. And that's another kind of story we'll talk about later.
Well, listen, it's so good that you're here. Thank you very much for
it's
the
an honor to be here
through the years. And here it is. This is Rascal Flatts and Bless the Broken Road.
Whoa.